Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and for 2 days in a row, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich, and your phone calls for about 20 years in a row at 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Come join us for New Life. We're glad you're with us today on New Life Live.
I'm glad you accepted my call. I listen every day.
Now, can we all be friends if I say something a little bit confronting?
Give it to me straight. I can take it.
Right. It won't be indirect and it won't be flippant. It will be respectful. But I want you to look at this as you have a problem.
I know I'm making excuses.
Love your honesty.
Okay. So you're saying he went from the honeymoon to the honey move?
Yeah, whenever you do that, it's a little quick.
Yeah.
Are you wondering, Elizabeth, if you're trapped?
Rather than try to teach them something, I would listen and I would just kind of point out the inconsistencies, the lack of evidence, and some of the social pressure that's there.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today, Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Steve.
How
Glad
are you guys
here
doing?
Again.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you two days in a row. Maybe we'll get used to each other.
Yeah. You think after all this time?
I hope so. Well, I need to get a couple of things out of the way. First of all, I want to urge you.
I'm glad it's not us.
No, a couple of things out of the way.
Yeah, you're
never in the way.
Okay, good.
But check out the new website, newlife.com. It is so easy to use. New information and features. You can search questions. You can see and hear our response. And I think you're going to love it. So it's newlife.com. Please check it out. And then next Friday, that's our New Life weekend. It's the Healing is a Choice weekend. We also have Every Man's Battle every month. We have women in the battle, if it's your husband or boyfriend or fiance. We've got a workshop for you to help you work through this and help that person and help you. That's Women in the Battle. That's in September. And November is Lose It for Life. And if you've never been a part of it, I read a little email that came in yesterday. A woman that lost 100 pounds over 2 years. She'd been to Lose It for Life, part of the Soaring Sisters. But next Friday is our New Life weekend. Healing is a Choice. And if you have been wanting to get your life to the next level, if you're wondering, what is it that's blocking God working in my life? How could I get rid of those things that prevent God from really working in my life? Or if you're in a relationship, what is it that prevents us from growing closer together and closer to God? And what can we do about it? Those are the kinds of things that are going to be answered for you. You'll go through it. We fly in counselors from all over the country. I'm going to speak. It's going to be a great time. And Mylon and Jill, you guys have been part of these since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. You know, Steve, I said this yesterday, but I really love the material that you present at Healing is a Choice, because it takes people, and I believe this with all my heart, the average person listening to our show feels very stuck in life.
Yes.
You know, they feel very much like, how am I ever going to get out of this place that I'm in? They feel victimized by it. They mm-hmm. feel, you know, very, very much stalled out. This weekend is one of those unstallers. You know, it gets you out of that place. It gets mm-hmm. you into a place where, excuse me, where you are really forced to be intentional and make choices. Because throughout the entire lecture series, you have a new choice, and it's yep. kind of just breaks it all loose.
Well, it really gives a how-to that so many mm-hmm. people are craving when they're in that crisis yeah. place or just feeling stuck.
I look at it as giving people a path.
Yes.
You need
yeah.
a path. If you're mm-hmm. ever going to get anywhere, you need a path. And at the New Life Weekend, we give it to you.
We do that. And then the small groups, they challenge you, your thinking, and you must talk out loud, and you must all of a sudden, you know, have stimulus, community, and input, and reflection.
And they also emotionally hold you.
And they emotionally mm-hmm. hold you. And
Same.
All those things help you get unstuck. So
yes.
I can't say enough good about it.
Shame-free zone. Call us today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's still room. Got about 16 people sign up in one day. That's a lot of people. So,
yes.
Make
Good.
Your place. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And if you want to join us on the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. We'll take a break and come back and go right to the phone calls after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And I'm glad that you're with us today on a hot July day. I hope this is this show will be a blessing to you, that something here will say, oh, well, maybe that applies to me. I don't know. But let's talk with Sarah from Los Angeles, California. Sarah listens on that fabulous station, KKLA. Hello, Sarah.
Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right today. How could we help you?
Okay, so I'm starting to date after not dating for about 2.5 years.
Why did you quit dating?
I lost my fiancé in a car accident.
Oh.
Sarah.
So sad.
How old are you, Sarah?
26.
So sorry.
Okay. Well, you've been through it then.
Mm-hmm. No wonder why you needed to take some time.
Yeah, and I did the heavy grief work. I was in really deep grief for a year and a half or almost about a year and a half, like really deep. So, I don't know. I'm just starting to come out of it and starting to enter the dating world again.
Okay.
And I have been reading all kinds of books, and one of them I was reading was How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that when I start dating someone I'm attracted to, I don't put God first. And so I'm wondering if I should stop dating and just work on my relationship with God before I start, I guess. I've always had a relationship with God, but I don't know if it's strong enough.
Well, what do you mean you stop putting God first?
I don't really bring that to the relationship. I kind of, because I'll be attracted to people who aren't necessarily going to church or living that lifestyle, and I'll just go out on dates with them, but I'll find myself attracted to them, and then it's like a side of me that I lose.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you never date, you'll never learn to integrate your spiritual life into your dating life, which is really important. That doesn't answer the question whether or not you need to wait to date, but there is a concept and a principle that you want all of Sarah dating, not just Sarah except her spiritual values side and her beliefs and her relationship with God.
Right, and that's what I go into, guys. That's kind of automatic for me. I'll just set that aside.
Okay, well, let's hear what Mylon and Jill have
Sarah,
to say about this.
I have a question. Was it a problem before with your fiancé or when you dated previously?
Yes.
It was a
yes.
problem. Okay, so you tend to put the person, kind of make them the center of your world?
Right.
And revolve around them, and then God is, what, in the back seat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or they're in the back seat. That's something we need to clarify. Yeah, does it mean
true.
That you get physical with
Good
the person
point,
who's you know? Is that part of the problem?
No, physical isn't. No.
Okay, good deal. All right, so
when you're involved in dating, Steve, I like what you said about this idea of integrating, because it's almost like, okay, stop. Okay, you're going to have a relationship with God, and then you're going to move on to mm-hmm. the dating thing, and it seems too compartmentalized. I think we have to learn to do things kind of side by side. And so I'm wondering, Sarah, if you could, you know, think about what are some steps you could take to bring God along with you as you're dating. You know, is there some accountability? Are you involved in a woman's group? You've been reading, you know, Christian-based books. Are you meeting anybody at church where it would be more comfortable to talk about God right away?
Right,
some of those things, like kind of developing a plan. So maybe you know, you pause for a moment and you kind of develop a plan of moving forward with God, kind of having God go on these dates with you. And also thinking about, what is your idea about God being involved in your dating? Does that mean you have to talk about God right on the first date and make sure they know exactly, and because you don't, then you feel like you're leaving him out?
Right, and that's where it confuses me in the book, saying that you can date non-Christians. Like, when is that? When do you draw that line?
Well, I think the book talks about having exposure to a lot of different people so that you can
right.
see yourself against the backdrop of different personalities. It's a way of getting to know yourself better. But I think as you move forward into a dating relationship with one person, you know, there's some criteria that you probably would have for that dating
right.
relationship. And it's not just I'm attracted to the person.
Right. And if you can't have a date with a non-Christian without falling madly in love with the non-Christian, then I would say that would be part of the book you'd want to ignore.
And that's a problem.
And if you fall in love after one date, you then need to be the bachelorette, because that's typically what they do. You know, they just go, either this, that's it. You know, I found the person. You know, Jill said something really great, and so did Steve. And because if you make it, Sarah, that it's a first or a second, and it's always a first or a second, then it's sort of mm-hmm. a black or a white mm-hmm. kind of a thing, as opposed to the words that Jill and Steve used, with God as a part of your life, or integrating God as a part of your life. And that only occurs, we get better at that with practice. So if I said to you, Sarah, I want you to rub your tummy and pat your head, and you go, I can't do that very well. The only way mm-hmm. you're going to get better at it is by practicing patting your head, rubbing your tummy, mm-hmm. a coordination skill of learning to do two separate things at the same time. And you won't get better by avoidance or saying, well, I'll just tap for a while, and I'll just rub for a while. You have to learn to try to do them both. So Steve and Jill are saying, you learn to incorporate these things and you practice. And that's the only way you're going to get good at it, is by learning to do it and practicing. How can I bring God into this date, taking God with me? You take him in by your morals. You take him in by the things you talk about. You take him in by what you'll tolerate, the amount of respect that you command, that a person treat you with a certain kind of behavior. You carry him with you as though you're a child of the king, and that you deserve to be, behave in a certain way when people are around you. And Henry's idea of dating non-Christians is just to get people moving. You know, get out there, just start meeting people. And it's not to say you're going to make a life commitment to one. It's just the average person that doesn't have a date worth keeping isn't moving. And so it's kind of like what we were talking about with the New Life Weekend. They're stuck. They're stalled out, and they're
right.
just wishing. So Henry's saying, get moving.
Well, and I think Henry's idea is, a lot of times we women, we're looking for the perfect guy before we've even said hello.
Yeah.
And we're sizing them up, and they've got to meet all these things. And he's saying, just go say hello.
Yeah.
You know, maybe talk to him in the grocery market. Maybe meet for coffee.
Yeah.
But don't start rolling the movie too far forward.
Like trying to hit a grand slam home run at the first time you're at the plate. You know,
right.
your goal is to just hit the ball. And
right.
you know, people try and get too much too fast too quick.
Right.
Now, I want to congratulate you on moving beyond safety.
Yeah.
We were talking to a lady whose fiancé died 20 years ago. And she was just starting to date after 20 years.
Mm. Mm.
And it's important that what you're doing, that you're moving beyond, that you say you've done the grief work. But I would say that you're really ready to date when you're not dating in relation to your fiancé, that you're not comparing every person to the fiancé. Oh, this is just like him. This is the opposite of him. Or, you know, that you're really looking for a dating experience with that Sarah can enjoy, where you can learn more about a person, leave them in better shape than when you started the date. If you kind of go by those guidelines, you'll be fine. And then if you can't, you need to look at, do you have the women around you that help you not be desperate in a dating relationship and not move too quickly?
Well, and Sarah, I'd like to just add to that. Really, I think having people around you, as Steve is saying, helps you to hold on to yourself, because you can go back to them and say, okay, this is how I was feeling in this, you know, experience. And it helps you to reflect, because I get this sense that you're not only kind of leaving God out, but there's perhaps maybe the focus on the other person is about hoping that they'll like you instead of really thinking about what's important to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So being able to kind of take, as we've said, all of who you are and hold on to that in relationship. And I think that's what you can be asking God for, too, you know, prior to the date. Okay, God, we're going on this date now. You know, help me to keep you in mind. Help me to hold on to myself and be the person you've made me to be.
Okay.
But it's hard not to let a person and wonder, do they like me?
Well, you know, you can, yes,
and,
yes.
And so,
but are you catering to them and gearing yourself around them?
Well, and some of that's just naturally going to happen if we fall head over heels for somebody. And
that's
we
right.
We can just, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you're right.
We
it
have
does.
To, I think what Sarah's doing is she's putting too high an expectation sometimes. I'm wondering. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, it could be.
And so, and then the other thing is do you feel disloyal to your fiancé by dating again? Like I'm somehow abandoning him. And that's another little bit of a hurdle you might have to push through.
Okay, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice and Avoiding Mr. Wrong. And I hope that those will be helpful to you. And we do realize that when we talk about dating, that there are people that listen and they just cringe because you don't believe in dating. You've bought into a philosophy that says, we don't date. We meet someone and we hear about them, and when we're ready to court them, which is preparation for engagement and then marriage, then that's when we start to be with that person. And I hear all sorts of single people saying, you know, sometimes you just want to talk to somebody over coffee. You don't want to have to go meet the dad and prepare to court and state your intentions up front and all those things. All you want to do is just have a cup of coffee. So I know it's offensive when we talk about dating to some of you, but we really have thought this through and believe that if you set the right boundaries and you have the right protection and you're willing to back up if you can't do it in the right way, it can be an amazing experience for everybody. All right, let's go to Joe from Asheville, North Carolina. WRJZ is the station. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
What's going on?
I have a simple question. I really appreciate y'all's program. I'd like to say first, I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
And I do construction work. And about a year and a half ago, my wife ran off, well, my pastor, she ran off with my pastor.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, and wow. And I've been so mad that it affects me, of course, emotionally, physically. Our church has gotten a new pastor, and he's fabulous.
Good.
But, you know, I'd like to know what y'all's thought is on getting over the anger. I'm so mad I could just run through a house. But yet, you know, I've heard all this stuff. You know, I don't want to hear the same old, like, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, et cetera, et cetera. I would like to hear something different.
Okay.
If there is something different, I, you know, need some help with this. you know, bother me. Now, it's not as bad as what it used to be because it's been over a year ago. And by the way, a few weeks ago, he came home and she had left him for another man. And
how'd that make you feel?
How'd it make me feel?
Better?
I don't know. Well, not really. I mean, it was like, it was kind of like suits him right thing.
Yeah.
But yet, I hate to see that a man like that just be sucked down into his lust. And maybe, yeah. We're talking about a 30-year pastor that left his wife, children, and almost devastated the church. But, well, you know...
Joe, we can help you, and we promise we will not say, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," in our answers, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we'll get to this very sad situation, very much too common of a situation, but we'll deal with it after this. You can join us by calling 1-800-229-3000. That's our number. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Joe, and Joe is one of these guys. His wife ran off with the preacher, and now has run from the preacher. Mylon, Jill?
Well,
we committed not to saying, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," because Joe is still very angry 1 year later.
You know, Joe... first of all, I'm very sorry this happened to you, and this would be very painful. Three things cross my mind, and I'll just share them with you. One is to depersonalize the rejection a little bit.
What do you mean by that, sir?
Well, depersonalize it as though she rejected Joe. You see, what she rejected was reality. That life, it has, you know, people have construction jobs that go to work every day. And she left you for a pastor. Now, a year later, she left him too for another, reality must have set in there too, you see. And she left him for another ideal person that she thinks is more ideal. Your former wife has a problem with idealizing love, and she would do it to anybody. So when I say depersonalize it, instead of it being about Joe... your wife has a very big deficit with respect to being able to maturely enter into relationships, and it applies to all of our relationships, not just you, and to help broaden it out a little bit is what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Secondly, now this is going to sound like the opposite thing I'm saying, but do you have any historical similarities of what your wife did to you? Like, did a dad leave you? Did another person you were in love with leave you? Or did you ever have any other major losses in your life historically?
Yes.
Okay. Those historical losses are strong and deep from the past. And so when I have something happen in the present, they magnify them. That's why you say, I can't seemingly get over this rage that I'm feeling. And so what you have to do with those is you have to grieve the historical loss of being abandoned by a mom, a dad, a lover, somebody that really hurt you or betrayed you or abandoned you. And as I grieve the real deep loss from the past, when I was more victimized, this present loss loses its power just a little bit more every day. Does that make sense?
Well, not exactly. You want me to grieve over the past loss?
Well, all loss of being abandoned, you know, historically in the past and also in the present. And you say, you know, wow, my wife leaving me reminds me of being left before. So the grief I'm feeling, the anger I'm leaving, isn't just about my wife. It's also this historical grief that creeped in too. And so that's why it feels so big and ominous and large. And so if I address the historical losses by getting angry at those, grieving those, and facing those, then I have a better chance of letting go of the present loss because I get triggered about old loss.
The biggest part, sir, is yes? It's not so much the anger towards her because, I was in love with a fake person. She wasn't really who she portrayed that was.
Great that you can see
and
that.
I've come to that conclusion that I was in love with an actress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she wasn't real, and when the money ran out, she was gone.
Yeah.
And then, the anger, I mean, I'm talking about a morbid anger that I've prayed and prayed and cried and prayed and prayed and that I just want to get over it. I don't want it.
And that,
Joe,
to take it.
Yeah.
And that I'm not able to turn loose of it. I ask him.
That's right.
And take it from me. I can't.
Joe.
I can't turn loose. I told him to, pull it out of my hand.
Yeah, it feels just terrible.
I don't want to feel like this.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to hate him. I don't want to hate nobody.
Okay, and Joe, you know what? That's a normal thing to just want all of those negative feelings to be gone. But really, the anger is part of the journey of moving to a place of acceptance. And so there's no way to just have it be removed. It's like you have to go through it. And what Mylan was talking about, it's like this domino effect. So it's like all of the losses in your life with this new wound have opened up. It's like if you had a wound that had, scabbed over, it's like the scab got peeled back, right? So they're all coming out. And so Mylan's talking about as you look at all of the losses in your life, the anger will dissipate.
And I want to add, Joe, that God probably isn't going to take it until you give it up and work through that process that Jill is talking about. But here's what I would say as a motivator to you. You don't want that pastor to own you for one more day.
No, I don't.
And as long as you hold on to your right to be angry, your justifiable resentment of this guy, as long as you hold on to that, and we tend to hold on to these things in privacy rather than get the help, somebody to walk us through the trail where we let it go and we let this guy go. Get him out of your life. That's what you want to do. That's the motivation for not being angry.
Does that make sense, Joe?
Well, kind of. I'm just... It's a struggle. It's like, I hate him for what he's done to my, my church. I hate him for what he's done to...
He did wrong.
I even hate him for what he's done to God. How dare you?
Well, and you didn't want to hear vengeance is mine, but I think God took his vengeance pretty swiftly with this guy.
And if he could look into the past, Joe could look in the past and say, I hate you for robbing me. Mm-hmm. Who else would he say that to?
Yeah. All right, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice, Joe. I hope that's going to be helpful to you.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And as we mentioned earlier, we have a New Life Weekend coming up next Friday. It is not too late to jump on board here to find out, how do I get rid of these things that are keeping God from working in my life? And Mylon and Jill, I think probably one of the most common things that we deal with is someone who is stuck in their resentment, bitterness, mm-hmm. and anger.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
You know, just like this place that where Joe was, Jill, you were saying, you know, a lot of even in our marriage counseling,
yes.
with people, it's like you could put pictures up and then put different faces on those posters.
Mm-hmm. What if we had paper dolls.
What do you mean
by
that?
Well, I think that we definitely transfer or project onto our spouse all of the different people in our lives that have hurt us.
Yeah.
And if you really kind of get a sense of that and realize that you're having that experience, it's really powerful,
mm-hmm.
to sure be able is. To see that.
So, yeah. So in the case of Joe, where he's very stuck in this anger, if he's very focused on this pastor.
Well, right. And
but if
true, the pastor did wrong. The
absolutely.
Pastor did wrong and the pastor hurt him. So
right.
this is now a new hurt. But it brings up, like we talked about, all of those past hurts, and he needs to look at all the different faces.
Then, that could
that
be on
him.
That pastor's
yes.
picture that
yes.
might have done the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In this new
yeah.
book, new book I've got coming out, Walking Into Walls, it is
yeah.
one of the walls, justifiable resentment. The most dangerous thing we can have is something in our life where everybody is thinking, oh my goodness, I'd be angry too. And it sometimes allows us to stew in our anger rather than to, as we were telling him, move on. Get
mm-hmm.
get beyond it.
Well, and part of the moving on is you are angry, and so having places to talk about that, right?
Right? Yeah, that's right.
So,
all right, let's. Why don't we talk with Debbie from Arnold, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Hello, Debbie.
Hello. How are you?
Great. How are you today? What's going on? How could we help you?
It's a situation with my granddaughter, and
okay.
I live in Maryland. My granddaughter lives in Illinois, and My daughter and I are really close. We have similarities in our past. Anyway, my granddaughter is very out of control. Her history is she doesn't even know who her biological father is. Hasn't met him. My daughter's husband has been her father all her, you know, since she was a baby. She up until a couple of years ago, she just started acting out. So she's running away. She's cut herself. She's sexually active. And my daughter calls me all the time, you know, when something happens because she's not connected. And I keep, you know, she goes to church, but I keep trying to get her connected with other people. So it's not all on me. And her husband is not with, you know, walking in the Lord. So it's like really on her. I'm going to visit there in a couple of weeks, and I have a daughter that's like a year younger than she is, so I'm sort of involved because I can't have my daughter hanging out with her.
Right.
But I just want to know how to, I want to help my daughter to give her some guidance.
Yeah.
The last thing I told her today when she called me and told me she ran away again, and she's getting a record now. Now she's, she's on probation and everything because she's having trouble at school, so she took the fire alarm and she pulled it, so she's on probation. So she ran away again. When she ran away, she called my daughter up and said, "Hey, can you pick me up?" And my daughter said, "No, I'm not picking you up." And she went and got and then, you know, hung the phone up on her. So she's very bold now. Before she would sneak, but now she's very upfront on walking out the house right in front of them.
All right. Well, let's see if we can. There's not a lot that you can do, but you're going to be with your daughter, so maybe something we
for two
say,
weeks though
for 2 weeks might help.
And I'm going to be living with them in this.
Yeah.
You know, so many times in the Christian world, we look at the behavior and we're horrified by the behavior and we want to fix behavior and we want to essentially tell the kids, stop it, stop the behavior, don't do that anymore. And how can I get my kid to stop this? And certainly that's an important question. But what Kay and I talk about in our new book, How We Love Our Kids, behavior oftentimes is a language. It's a immature language, but basically the chaotic, wild, irresponsible behavior is really a language of, in an immature way, of how chaotic and immature I am on the inside and how I hurt and how I ache. And this outward behavior is really a immature way of showing the internal pain. And so when we stop and say to the child, "Tell me what hurts so bad inside," and try to get the child or the teenager to begin to articulate the feelings of, "I'm scared," or "I'm lonely," or "I hate myself," or "I'm angry that I don't know who my biological dad is," or "My mom is so weak, and my stepfather is so avoidant." We can then begin to get into the pain of where the child is. And it is in that pain and meeting the child there and loving them there that's where this behavior will be mitigated at emotional connection at the places of pain.
Well, I've talked to my daughter about that to say I think that's the route you need to get because it's an inward thing.
Debbie, listen to this really quickly. Your daughter may not be able to do that with your granddaughter. Mm-hmm. You see that you may be having a 16-year-old raising a 16-year-old. If your daughter gets your daughter gets triggered and your daughter gets to a place where the 16-year-old provokes her and all of a sudden she ratchets down from 30-something to 16-something, then all of a sudden you have an adolescent trying to raise an adolescent. What I mean by the behavior as a language is somebody more mature who isn't triggered and brought down to a 16-year-old level needs to be able to contain. Because, Jill, you said the word contain, the emotions of somebody relative to you know, a New Life weekend.
Right.
Now, explain to Debbie what that means in terms
of somebody
else helping.
I actually think you coming in for the 2 weeks as the grandma might be able to intervene for, you know, in a small way by being the person that says to your granddaughter, what are you so angry about? Let's put some words to all that you're doing here. Tell me about this, as Mylon was saying. In that way, you're inviting her to share with you, and you're saying, I'm big enough to hear whatever it is. And you know, by you being there, listening, surviving what she does. See, I mean, she is pushing hard. I mean, look at how she's escalating. She's flipping everybody off with her behavior.
Right.
So she is ticked off because, and Mylon, you mentioned weak, and that's what came to mind for me. Mom can't handle it. Dad can't handle it. And she's getting more and more escalated to see if somebody will come in and be like a big bear that can wrap their arms around her and hold her in all that she's feeling because it feels really bad. The greater the behavior, the worse it feels.
Yeah.
So does that make sense to you, Debbie?
It does make sense. I mean, I called her the other, like, a couple of weeks, and I've been calling her, like, every once in a while, and I, hi, Deja, how are you doing? It's like, I'm okay. I said, no, that's not, you know, that answer that I want. Remember, we always said we want to be truthful to one another, and it says, oh, I'm feeling rotten. I say, oh, okay, now I know how you're really feeling.
Great, great.
Very
See,
good.
You're not letting her just slide by with those pat answers.
No, no.
And so, you know, maybe,
I listen to your show a lot. So.
Well, good. So maybe what you do is when you're there for 2 weeks, you can say, you know what? I think we need to get some help. And really see if you could move her to a place of being willing to go and get help.
No, she's in counseling, but... She is actually going to see a counselor. I don't know what type of counselor counseling she's getting because apparently it's, she's spiraling, you know.
Okay.
This may be one of those cases where the only alternative that would work is for her to be sent to a place that works with troubled teens.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
Like a residential care.
Yes, exactly.
Program.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because
okay.
It sounds like to me that she has no structure in her life, all privilege, no consequence.
She doesn't respect her parents.
And if you could balance the connection that Mylon's talking about with structure, and she responded, then that would be great. But if not, then you have to let her
She doesn't
go.
Respond to structure.
No.
Well, see, sometimes we focus on the teen or the kid. Sometimes it's really a parent
mm-hmm.
problem.
Oh,
yeah.
Isn't it really,
you know?
Though, most
I,
of
I
the
think,
time?
I think the your daughter, Debbie, needs, Mylon, your book, How We Love Our Kids.
Okay.
I think that would be a good one.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to send that to you.
Okay.
1-800-229-3000 to join us here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to sign up for the New Life Weekend that's coming right up. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're going to send that book, How We Love Our Kids, right out there. And if you haven't read it and you've read How We Love, you'll love this one, too. I'm absolutely certain of that. Let's go to Kathy from Birmingham, Alabama, watches the program on FamNet. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. My question was, we like to watch FamNet. They have good shows. I happen to be watching about Father's Day. You have recorded a couple of weeks before Father's Day. My question is about my niece. She's 5 years old. Saturday before Easter, her father, my brother, was shot. And the five-year-old and the mama was in the bathroom in the back of the house, and they didn't hear it, but Sadie had run out and found her dad and come running back and was scared and thought the person was in the house. And they just went through a really traumatic time. He did pass away on the 28th. We had to take him off life support. And she asks her mom and me, and I'm going up to visit this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, but sometimes she asks really difficult questions like, you know, is Daddy hungry? She knows he's in heaven. We talked to her about it, but she's confused. And if she asked me a question, I wanted to know, and I've looked, you know, I've got a lot of Christian books and in my Bible, things to know. Is there anything that I can talk with her about or maybe make her understand better that he's okay?
Well, Kathy, first of all, I'm so sorry. This is a terrible situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, as people are dealing with a tragedy and the shock and trauma of it, you know, it's like our minds grab hold of it, and then it's like then they let go of it. And so as we're trying to assimilate something new and come to a place of understanding, we like to talk about it. And, you know, your five-year-old niece hasn't had the life history, so doesn't have all the preconceived ideas that we adults put on things. So this is a new experience for her, and she's processing it. And I think her question is quite precious. You know, is Daddy hungry? So she's letting you know, I think about my dad, and I wonder what he's doing. And you know, I think we adults put a lot of pressure on ourselves to come up with, oh, I've got to come up with the answer that will satisfy her. And almost the answer that will keep her from asking more questions.
Or keep her from hurting.
Or keep her from hurting.
Right.
When really it's like, well, what do you think? Do you think Daddy does get hungry? I hadn't really thought about that. That's a really good question. And kind of just think about it with her. And you know, let her know that you realize that sounds like you're thinking about your dad. And do you miss him? Because I miss him, too. You know, let her talk. Have a dialogue with her and see what she wants to talk about. Not that you have to give her an answer to make her understand. This is how she's coming to understanding.
Right. She talks about him a lot. And they'll go up to the grave and, you know, and just about every weekend or something, and just to sit and talk, or, you know, her mom takes her up there, and she just keeps saying, "I miss Daddy so much." And mm-hmm. Marcella, you know, she'll say, "I miss him too, baby." And, you know, she just, I think in time, which, you know, it hasn't been quite 12 weeks, but it was really bad. You know, we all were there within minutes, and they actually had cut the, when you come off of where we were at over at another family member's, we got there when the helicopter was taken off, and we got there within just minutes. And I don't, Marcella's processing it better, trying, the mama, but you know, sometimes she'll come up to me and just sit with me, you know, because I'm real close to both of them. And
You're all having a hard time.
Kathy, you know, in our workshops, How We Love Our Kids, we talk about the fact in our book, we talk about what shareable is bearable. You know, a lot of people think children are resilient, but they're really not resilient if they have no place to share what's going on in their little brains.
Right.
Because the Bible says, when I was a child, I used to think as a child, reason as a child, and speak as a child. In other words, there's immature thought patterns that an adult needs to set straight for the child. And even "I don't know" is a good answer to a child, because there's a lot of things about heaven we don't know.
Right.
So allow her to continue to be in a shareable, bearable, you know, what's shareable is bearable mode. And invite her, like Jill said, well, what else is in there? What else are you thinking about, honey? What else, other questions do you have? Even if you don't know the answer, say, well, you know, I don't know that answer either. And your granddaughter is learning, or your niece is learning, that, well, there's a lot of things that don't have answers in life. And that's even a part of the adult journey of realizing not everything has an answer.
Right.
And there's just one last thing I want to say, and that is that we ask people, when you were a child, did any of you in the audience lose a parent? And, you know, sometimes a dozen people will raise their hand. And then we say, now leave your hands in the air. And we'll say, now how many of you had people come back later and talk with you about that loss?
Not many.
And every hand goes down.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part, that a child experiences this, but nobody ever wants to bring it back up again and say, how are you doing in your feelings about Daddy?
Right.
Because we feel like, I don't want to bring up a bad
topic. I don't want to make him feel bad.
I don't want to make him feel bad. But that's the opposite of what we need to be doing. It gives a child security when you can say, how are you feeling about Daddy today?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that something we've said has been helpful. I'm going to send you Mylan's book, How We Love Our Kids. I think it's really important that there continue to be this allowing of her to express her feelings. And there's just no easy answer, no way to prevent her pain. But she's got you there, and she's got her mother there, and that's
well, I
that's
just
what
pray
she
that she'll one day not remember what she saw.
Yes, well, she probably will always remember it, but it won't be so present in her mind. I'm really glad that you
called. Kathy, we're so sorry.
Yeah, we are so sorry. Yeah. And just one more thing. So, Kathy, Mylan was saying, you know, the first tragedy is the event. The second tragedy is not being able to talk about it. Don't allow the second tragedy in her life.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, we're just about out of time. We'll remind you that we've got the New Life Weekend coming up this Friday after this one. We'd love to have you there. Also, as I talked about yesterday, we have a $100,000 matching gift, and we're $40,000 away from being able to get that gift. About $60,000 has come in to match against it, and we can't get the funds until we have the $100,000 to match it. So right now is a time when we really need your support, and every dollar that you support us with, it really means $2 because of the matching gift. So would you please pray, ask God, is he wanting you to support this ministry? Is this a ministry that helps people transform their lives and walk closer with God? Is it a ministry that is meeting a need? And if you feel God leading you, please respond to God, not to this request. Because we know that God loves a cheerful giver, and he will honor you for your gift when it's given with knowledge and wisdom and integrity. We will continue to do programs, and you can join us at 1-800-229-3000. Until then, we will see you tomorrow here on New Life Live. Glad you joined us today. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.